1, 2, 3, 4.
Jake and Jonathan.
Hey,
you went too far there, Jake.
Yeah,
I was trying to do a serious intro.
Oh,
you know?
Oh, sorry.
I was trying to do a proper serious intro.
Set the whole thing off to the wrong, a bad start.
I know, that's bad.
Yeah.
That is terrible. How are you doing, man?
Oh, good.
Welcome.
Good. This is great. We're doing this, recording this like an hour later than usual because I didn't set my alarm.
We can do that in the future if you want.
I feel great. This would be a great time for me to do it every week.
Yeah. So maybe I can change that on the calendar right now. So you don't have to get up so early. I mean, I don't think I chose that time.
No, I chose it. I chose it. Lately, we have a different schedule in the morning for getting the kids off to school. So
right.
It might be better this way. Just have them locked in the cellar. So
yeah, the little Jake cage.
It's a lot simpler.
Yeah. So yeah, that's a cool, interesting start for the listeners, I think.
Yeah, to hear our scheduling. I think that's really good. I mean, it's just people love that. That's what people say,
dude,
when they comment. Actually, as long as we're ruining the episode right away, any ads for you?
Yeah, ads. Okay, so the only thing you should do, if you are somebody who's interested in running workshops, if you're somebody who's interested in being like an innovation consultant or somebody who can, like I already said, run workshops. All right, go to ajsmart.com/masterclass and watch the free training on the top of the page. It will change your life. It's changed many people's lives. Oh. And if you have done that already and you haven't bought our masterclass, you're a fool. And you know what? I know there's a lot of you who haven't bought the masterclass because there's thousands and thousands and thousands of you listening to the podcast and only 2,500 of you bought the masterclass. So, like I said, you should definitely check out the online masterclass. It's an online course on how to run design sprints and how to sell design sprints with myself and yours truly, Jake Knapp. Do you say yours truly for someone else?
Well, I don't see why you wouldn't. It seems more convenient to do it that way.
Exactly.
This is quite a page. It's bright yellow.
Yeah.
You should go there. Yellow. Just
Jake, you've been targeted now. If you went to the page,
I'm gonna see the ads.
Yeah, I mean, no, you don't see the ads if you go to that page.
I liked it at the beginning. It says increase your worth. That's the headline. Increase
this
your
is
worth.
A save time A-B and impress test. Your clients. I saw that as well, and I asked the team, and I was like, "Why does it say increase your worth? That's weird." And they were like, "Yeah, it just does better in the A/B test. So it just depends which one you get."
That's what we all want. I want to increase my self worth. So
yeah, increase your worth. I guess it's your worth or your day rate as a consultant or something. I don't know.
But I see. It says go to free training on the top. That's how you get to watch the webinar. Well, we make a big sales pitch for it. It's a good webinar though, and it really
is
free.
Amazing. It's great. Do it.
It is both a great advertisement and also free as advertised. Okay.
Watch it.
That's a good one. Any more ads from you?
Next or the week after next, I might have some stuff to talk about.
Okay. I'll do a couple promotions for workshops.
Promotions.
That's right. That's how we say it in the old country. First one I'm going to promote is a conference I'm speaking at in May in Stockholm.
Can I guess the name of it?
Yeah.
From Buttons to Something?
Yep. It is. It's From Buttons to Something. And it's a good one. It's From Business to Buttons.
From business to buttons.com.
Dude, check.
Yeah.
Listen to this. Listen to
what?
The other people who are speaking. Okay.
From
I'm just on their speakers page. Listen to this.
Buttons.
Erica Hall.
Don't know who that is.
Yeah, you do.
Oh, wait.
Erica Hall. She's the researcher. Very excellent researcher, author of Just Enough Research. She's really cool.
Oh, yeah. Jake Knapp, who's that?
Jake Knapp, who's that? Listen to this. Shinichiro Tamaki, who...
Don't know who that is.
One of the lead developers of the Nintendo Wii.
That is so cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, that's a cool one. I mean, the other ones are...
Yeah.
The other one, like you and you,
Me is pretty cool. Also, Mike Montero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brad Frost. It's funny, the people who talk at every conference, Melissa Perry, Brad Frost.
Oh, I don't know. I've never met them.
What?
And, yeah,
how could you have not been at a conference that Brad Frost and Melissa Perry hadn't spoken at?
Okay. Yeah, I know.
Dude, they literally speak at every conference.
Well, I don't know. Gaita Zaran, she's the lead product designer at Netflix.
Oh, that's cool.
It was cool. That's a cool. This is.
By the way, I could just keep saying don't know who that is because I don't know the names anyway, but like no one knows anyone's names. I only know their names.
Yeah, well, anyway, I'm stoked.
That does look cool. I mean, honestly, that does look cool.
It does. Yeah, I think it's cool. I thought you would be impressed by that.
No.
And I'm stoked. So Erica Hall and Mike Montero, they work together. They have this agency called Mule Design.
Yeah.
And they're also like pretty feisty online, and I've never met them in person, so I'm I'm eager and also kind of scared to meet them. So
okay, cool.
Who knows what's going to happen there? You could come check that out. I'm doing a couple workshops there, including like an advanced design sprint workshop and like an intro, like a bit super like the cool. normal classic. I would call the classic design sprint workshop
Le Classique.
The other Le Classique. Speaking of Le Classique, the other thing I want to plug real quick is a conference I'm doing in Switzerland.
Name it.
In August. It is called iToday. So if you go to itoday.ch, you will
like
find...
The letter I.
iToday. itoday.ch.
iToday.
This is a conference. This is pretty cool, I think. This is a conference that is put together by Stefan Cruchon.
Ooh, and Alex Osterwalder is speaking at the... That's cool.
It's a super small, right? So there's not going to be very many speakers. But yeah, Alex Osterwalder. How do you say? Alex Osterwalder?
Osterwalder.
That's sort of the German way to say it. And I can't... Yves Pignoir? I'm not even going to... No, I am going to try to say the French name. Yves Pignoir. Anyway, those two are the authors of Business Model Generation and all of those books like that. Value Proposition. Anyway,
which
so
is similar
cool.
to your book, kind of in the way that they're like systems, you know?
Yes, totally. Recipes. Totally books that I... looked at when we started to work on Sprint. It's like, hey, how do they do that? Those books are super popular. Those books are like way more popular than Sprint. Super cool. Anyway, they're speaking. I'm speaking. They're doing a workshop. I'm doing a workshop the day after. And it's in this super cool place. So
looks really cool.
Yeah. Stefan Egle, who are organizing it. I was with them when they were like, God, I wonder if we should try to do a, you know, should we just try to put on a conference here in Switzerland, which is really cool. And they had done a Sprint with the company who runs this venue. I guess venue is the word. And it's a super cool, it's called the Swiss Tech Convention Center. What's really cool about it is that the seats inside are all like
covered in blood.
Mechanized. They're all covered in blood. So you go in thinking this is just going to be a conference. And then you sit down, and that's when the blood just soaks right into your clothes.
And you get some terrible diseases.
Yeah.
But you feel damn and that's good.
It. You think, but at that moment, you think, oh, this is going to be part of a bigger, like there's going to be a whole horror theme or like a theater thing, like a dinner theater. But it's not. It's just, that's the one thing soaked in blood. No, the seats are all, it's all like mechanized, like the walls and the seats. So they can like set it up for exactly how many people are there. So it's always
cool.
full. It's always exactly full.
Oh, so like if only one person buys a ticket, there'll just be one
then it's
seat
just like,
in the center.
Then it'll just, it'll just be like, it's like a big transformer. And so the inside will just be like.
You talking to Stefan.
And then there's just like one chair. And then Stefan's sitting there and he's just like, and then it's really awkward because he leaves. And then there's like no chairs. So
really cool, dude. They look really cool.
Should be fun. Okay, so those are my ads.
Dude.
Those are my ads. Anyway, should we sing it out now?
Let's close it off. We've got the ads done. Ads are done. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
I just came back from Nashville.
Oh, you were in Nashville for funnel hacking.
For a conference called Funnel Hacking Live. Now, Jake, you know my feeling about conferences. I know, like, even now, I'm just being super honest. Like, I look at those conferences you're going to speak at. I obviously think your talk is great, and I've seen you speak a few times. But I still generally feel like conferences are 80%, 90%, 99% bullshit and I hate them.
Yeah.
And I go to them and I really don't enjoy it. But that's just my subjective opinion is I don't enjoy them, right? I just go there and I leave and I'm like, ugh, that was a drag. It was more like it felt more like an obligation than actually anything interesting or fun. That's me. And also all of the after party stuff is always awkward as fuck. And you just have to get really drunk to even slightly enjoy it. And I don't like being at these conferences. I don't like speaking at these conferences. And I know that saying this really hurts my chances if I ever change my mind. but I've always been saying it, so whatever, I hate it.
It's a real nice buzzkill after my ads, too. Yeah. This is a good one. Yeah, this is really good. So, but you went to a conference last week.
So let's say the best design conference I've ever been to, let's say in terms of like emotional positive impact and like takeaways and like leaving it being really pumped, I would give it a 5 sticks out of 10.
Okay. That was the best. That before for you, that was the ceiling.
That's like the ceiling it ever got to. And I think for me, that was the first time I went to 99U. But I think that was also because I was just very excited and I got to visit IDEO and I got to meet Jason Fried. So like those two. Holy crap. Remind me to mention the Jason Fried story.
Oh, right. Holy crap.
So anyway. So that was that's like the high mark for me. Funnel Hacking Live. Okay. I didn't tell you this, so you don't know where I'm going with this yet.
That's right.
So I just came back from Funnel Hacking Live. 10 sticks.
10 sticks. Finally, 10 sticks. A 10 sticks conference. What was different?
Not even finally a 10 sticks conference. First conference I enjoyed in 10 years.
Wow. You sent me photos and video clips from it while you were there.
It's insane.
And that's unlike you. You said it was better in the lead up. Last time we talked, you were saying, oh, they're sending me the little video clips, and this guy's like, I'm going to be wearing a shirt, something. What happened?
I've never experienced anything like this in my entire life. There's so many elements of it that it was so good that me and Laura have decided to like rethink any sort of public thing we ever do in the future again.
Oh.
It made an AJ and Smart public event, which you always found really nice, which is, thank you very much. It made that look like an absolute piece of dog shit. It made it actually like our public training and public events. Now I'm like, oh wow, it's actually insulting how bad that is compared to what I just saw at Funnel Hacking Live. Okay, so Funnel Hacking Live. First of all, it's called Funnel Hacking Live. This is not going to appeal to a lot of people right out the gate.
But if you go, you know what you're getting.
You're going to get your funnels hacked.
Yeah.
So it's a funnel marketing conference. And a funnel is basically, to put it really simply, a funnel is how you get someone from being essentially mostly a cold customer who doesn't know about you to someone who buys your stuff. Now, the only reason we have 2,500 masterclass members is because we have a funnel that is a system for slowly bringing people an awareness of what the Design Sprint is and then what the Design Sprint course is. We don't just show them, hey, here's the Design Sprint course, buy it. It's a multi-week process with like lots of emails, lots of videos, whatever. That's a funnel. Funnel Hacking Live is, and there's a software company called ClickFunnels, which is sort of like just putting on this conference for the last few years. And I've just never seen anything like the whole experience. The onboarding was super amazing. We got a video like almost every day leading up to the conference, which was getting more and more and more exciting. And these videos were telling you about like what, you know, how to get there, what it's going to be like when you're there, things you can do to network with people, little tips and tricks for meeting people on the plane to the conference. Loads of fun.
What was a tip or trick to meeting people on the plane?
It's very simple. Wear your ClickFunnels t-shirt and go up and greet people who are wearing ClickFunnels t-shirts. And by the way, on the flight home, even everyone wore their ClickFunnels t-shirt. And I spent like half the flight talking to people about the conference on the flight, which was really cool.
Wow.
So people were really genuinely proud to be wearing this merch, which I've also never really witnessed before. So the merch thing, all the build up was really exciting. Then I had to miss the first day because I was doing a workshop for another company, which was really fun. And hello to the people listening. Also, shout out to Stuart, who's in our office right now as a client. Thank you very much for booking us, and is a longtime podcast listener from episode 1. So shout out to you.
Whoa.
Dude. Thanks a lot.
What's up, Stuart?
Hey. Yeah, man. Thanks a lot. I appreciate that. So anyway,
should we beep out Stuart's name or is it okay?
No, Stuart is fine. It's literally just a first name and no company attached, that nothing can come of this.
Okay.
And if it does, I'm sorry, Stuart, but I'm sure there's no way to combine. Okay. So listen. ClickFunnels. The girls are some of the AJSDX team, so the internal team arrived, and they started sending WhatsApp messages of what it looked like just to get your neck, or whatever you call that thing, like when you sign into a conference.
What's your neck? Just to get your neck?
Neck. You know when you buy a neck? You know the fucking lanyard or some shit, I don't know.
The lanyard,
yeah. That fucking thing. So they were sending videos of it, and I was so like, it was like a full on crazy party, like music, glow sticks, like smoke machines, and like palm trees. It was in this crazy building in Nashville called the Opry Gaylord Theater. It was all like indoor. It looked like Tropical Island. Like everyone was wearing their merch. Everyone was super excited. And I was like, oh my God, like, whoa, I just expected this to be another crappy conference. Even though the onboarding was good, I was like, wow, like I'm actually jealous of the onboarding at the event. Anyway, I missed the first full day. I arrived for the second day. So by the way, I mean, this is obviously very American, and Europeans listening to this will be rolling their eyes, but I don't give a shit. So you enter the area where the conference is. First thing that happens is you go through like four layers of people high-fiving you who work at the conference. So you're going up the steps, people are high-fiving you, welcoming, getting you really pumped for it. You get into the next area, there's people.
And you didn't even arrive at the normal time. They were just
I arrived on day two.
So it's the beginning of day two.
Yeah, so I was at the beginning of day two.
That's great.
They leave everybody. This is kind of a trick from like the Tony Robbins conferences or things, I guess. They leave everyone into the room at the same time, even though it's 3,000 people. So you're not allowed in and to just hang around, which actually kind of kills the vibe.
Yeah,
it's like the doors are opened and everyone fucking runs in. It's not a stampede. It's like fun. Yeah. So everyone runs in like crazy trying to get the best seats. But even if you don't get the best seats, like I didn't care about the best seats. It's fun because everyone's running in, everyone's cheering, everyone's clapping. And right at the start, and the whole day long, there's a really exciting MC on stage, a guy called Davon. I can't remember his full name, but this guy kept everyone excited for the entire, like it's, this conference, by the way, is long. It's 9 a.m. until mostly 10 p.m. at night with very few breaks. It's crazy long. And we were so energized every day. We were so pumped. You know, you get in, this guy is telling everyone to stand up and jump around and like getting us to meet other people. And like, it's just like a crazy fun thing. And every conference talk, which is, okay, not every. Okay, at most conferences, I would say, let's say if I see like 15 talks, I think one of them is practical and I get something out of it.
Yeah.
And all the rest are supposed to be inspirational, but actually suck and that people can't actually tell stories. So they shouldn't even try to do these talks. Anyway, so that was like the normal conference I go to is just like bullshit. And this was most of the talks on the second day were literally screenshots of how to set stuff up, which I found really cool.
Yeah.
And even like, it was like, okay, here's how I set this funnel up and here's how I set this and here's like kind of the thing. And here's how I do this and here's how I do this. And I was like, holy crap, why are they telling us actual stuff? Like, why are they actually showing us how stuff works? It's supposed to be like stupid inspirational shit. And yeah, so a lot of the talks were, even the inspirational ones were also like really well done and really fun. There was a couple of duds in there where I was like, oh, I don't know about that. But even the duds, the speakers were really well-trained speakers and very theatrical and really knew how to keep you excited.
Yeah.
Even if the talk itself sucked. So no one is standing there awkwardly like I would, like a designer just on the stage. Like
you wouldn't stand there awkwardly. Yeah, you get that, right?
But like, I'm not.
Do you think they actually did extra training?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, okay.
The conference was so tightly organized. So for example, it seemed like no one was allowed to use their own slides. And it seems like the conference organizers themselves worked with them on the slides because it was all in the same font. It was all the same style.
Yeah.
So it looks like every single talk was organized with the speaker and the conference owner, which I found really interesting and really like control freaky, but in a good way. And the last talk was 4 hours of Tony Robbins. I've never seen Tony Robbins. I mean, I didn't have any negative or positive kind of, I was just like, I'll just see, you know, whatever. That's going to be funny at least.
Yeah.
And it was just amazing. It was,
it
was the best show I've ever been to in my entire life.
The Tony Robbins part or the whole thing?
The Tony Robbins part. The Tony Robbins part beat like any concert I've ever been to.
Tell me about it. What's the deal? The guy is what's his deal?
He would be, if he was born like 2,000 years ago, this would have been Jesus. You know what I mean? If he ever decides to just go full on murder cult,
yeah, he can do
no
it easy.
Problem. Not even a problem. No one even would blink an eye. Like this guy owns the room like I've never experienced any. So can I just tell you one of the techniques he uses? You and I will never be able to do this because you probably have to be insanely rich to be able to pull this off. He has, I think, like I would say, like imagining like a 10-person audio visual team working behind the scenes just to change slides and turn on music. Like this thing is crazy. And so he comes out on stage, first of all, comes out on stage. And like a lot of the speakers, it's like hard pumping music. He's telling everyone to get up and everyone to clap.
Yeah.
But he comes out like clapping, jumping. Everyone gets up, even all the cynical Europeans like me and my team were like, oh God, this is going to be awkward.
Yeah.
Within like 5 minutes, we're all jumping. We're dancing with all the people around us. It's super fun. Then he just stops and starts talking about marketing, starts talking about business, really good tips as well, which are kind of not just blah, 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 like stuff I was writing down, like, oh, that's interesting.
Give us one tip from Tony Robbins, straight from the lips of Tony.
Straight from the big, dirty lips of Tony. So one of the things that one of the things that really helped me was he spoke about the three types of business owner. There's the artist, the entrepreneur, and the manager. This was really basic to start off with, but what he did really well. So I thought, I was like, yeah, I'm probably the entrepreneur. Like that's where I would fit in. I build companies.
Yeah.
And like, he was also saying like, and if you're one of these people, you cannot be the other two and you need to find the other two. And for me as someone who only recently figured out that I'm not good at managing, it would have been helpful to see that last year. But what I found out at this conference, like I didn't
could
know
have
that.
Saved
I
the wasn't. Year, Tony.
Yeah, thanks, Tony. But like this, for example, was extremely important advice for a lot of people there. But what he pointed out or what he explained is I'm actually more the artist type. I'm the person who likes to start stuff. And I'm very like not that interested in money. And so I'll kind of, you know, I won't be the financially savvy guy who like builds companies and sells them. That's like a real entrepreneur. Real entrepreneurs take massive risks. I don't take massive risks.
Yeah.
I'm an artist. I'm like the person who comes up with the ideas. And an artist without a manager is usually just a complete chaotic mess. And that's exactly what AJ and Smart was, you know, over a year ago. I mean, that's just something that kind of jumped out to me. But the main point in the 4 hours, like he spoke for 4 hours straight with no break, by the way. And all of our team
No bathroom break, nothing. Wow.
And by the way, he does longer in his normal shows, apparently. So the crazy thing is, you know, all the other speakers, even though they were on 28 minutes,
how long do you think he was in the bathroom after?
He just doesn't pee. Or he wears an adult diaper. But so the thing I want to tell you, so he'll be talking. Okay. He'll be like, so here's the three different blah, blah, blah. And he does like these interventions where people stand up and in this case, it was very business and marketing focused. So they'll stand up and he'll pick someone and they'll be like, hey, I'm having trouble growing my business. And that's why he showed, for example, these things. But he'll be mid-sentence. So the person will ask the thing. And about every minute or every 2 minutes, and this is hard to imagine before you see it, some music starts building up in the background. The lights start building up. Goes into a full-on party for like 30 seconds and he gets everyone up and you have to clap and you have to jump around.
While he's talking?
No, he stops talking. Oh. The music comes up in the background. Like his team kind of, I guess, decides now is the optimal moment. People might get tired if we don't do this. And then you're super energized again. You sit back down. He jumps right back into it as if nothing happened. And while that's happening, there's like graphics up on the screen that say like, go crazy for Tony. And like there's all this stuff. And it like explaining it sounds really cheesy and crappy, but it works so well. And then he'll go to another person. He'll break down some of their business issues. And like, again, you know, 2 minutes into the conversation, and he'll like jump around and like get everyone jumping. The other person's jumping and clapping. And sometimes it went on like a little bit longer and he'll be like, all right, turn to the, like one really cool thing I'm definitely going to use in my workshops. He's like, okay, get into a group of three. So you also have to get to, you know, I've never also connected with people this much at a conference as well, because you're forced to. So he's like, get into a group of three. And I awkwardly get into a group of you know, two other people that I didn't know. And I was like, oh, this is going to be so awkward. I've been like avoiding eye contact with them. You know, when the person sat next to me on the left, I was like, oh no, I heard Tony Robbins is like, it's going to be super interactive. And I was like, oh no, I don't know this person. It's going to be super awkward. So anyway, awkwardly get into a group of three. And he's like, all right, everyone put your like right hand in the air and point your finger up. And he's like, all right, on the count of three, point at the leader. So at the count of three, like you somehow, there's a majority, two people are pointing at one person randomly. It's just random. And then he's like, okay, now for the next 30 seconds, you have to copy whatever dance moves this leader comes up with. And it does not matter how shy you are. First of all, there's the peer pressure of, okay, everybody. I obviously am not going to lead these other two people down.
Yeah.
I'm going to do some dance moves. And then the other two people have to do it as well. And it just works. There wasn't one person sitting down. There wasn't one person trying to be too cool. It just worked really well. And he just breaks the ice so much that by the end of it, you're like, you just want to be friends with all the people around you.
Wow. Then that's cool.
He transitions.
That's fun.
So it's super fun for 3.5 hours. Then he ends it on a meditation, which was also really well done. And I would say by my just looking around me, remember this is like 3,000 people. I would say at least half of the people were openly crying, like sobbing.
What?
And like partners were like hugging and kissing, and it was crazy. And I also found it quite emotional. I didn't burst into tears, but I found it very, very emotional. And so did my team members. And then ends on a massive party. Literally, power of moments.
Wow.
I honestly barely can remember the content I learned, but it was like pure power of moments, like a masterclass. Nothing like it. I've experienced nothing like it.
Without me having been there, can you do anything to help me understand why people would be crying at the end?
People were crying a lot, dude. he does this, I would say, maybe 10-minute meditation.
So he's talking you through it. He's guiding you.
He's talking you through a guided meditation with your eyes closed. And it's actually just about positive things. So it's, oh yeah. So at the start of the meditation, he says, think of a problem you're having right now in your business or at home. So you just don't really think much about it. You're like, yeah, all right, whatever, this thing.
Yeah.
And then he guides you through a meditation of gratitude. So it's like, now think of, and by the way, I'm butchering it now. Like, obviously, this is like, if anyone's trying this at home.
Yeah. People are listening. They're like, oh, great. I'm going to get it now. They're like, close their eyes.
Yeah. So the lights go down. And he talks you through like remembering moments of gratitude in your life, but in a way that's like very specific, and you really bring up these memories. At the start, it's just kind of nothing. And after a while, it just gets more and more kind of like, oh, there was this thing. Oh, this is really amazing. So you're just thinking of things you're great. So it's like this gratitude meditation. You know, you've probably a lot of you have heard about that. But the combination of the music, his kind of way of talking about it, I guess that's all there really was, actually. Really fucking worked, and he's obviously done this so many times. And I was like, oh fuck, I'm feeling a bit like, feeling a bit misty-eyed here. and then you start hearing people crying around you, and it's like, oh fuck, what's like shit. And then when you open your eyes after 10 minutes and the lights go up, which is really weird, you just look around and yeah, people are just fully sobbing and hugging each other.
Wow.
It was crazy. Like, this guy, I know some people might be listening now and be like, oh, that's so manipulative, blah, blah, blah. No, but it's interesting to feel different things at a show. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Who says you shouldn't tap into things? And it was also not like tapping into negative, like think of something really bad that happened to you or something. It was just positive things. Yeah, but it was like a crazy ending. And then people were just like super, super elated at the end. And of course, then there was like 15 minutes of dancing. Yeah, it was really good. It was excellent. It was a really excellent show. Tony Robbins knows his shit.
Wow, that's cool. That sounds pretty cool. So you have some, were you re-inspired or inspired to do events again?
Yes.
Yeah?
Totally.
Am I invited? Like,
I mean, I'm going to try something small and intimate. I'm going to start like doing some things around the office again.
You're just
going to
bring
like,
in one person and have them sit there for 4 hours.
Exactly. Cry!
cry. Now's the time when you cry.
Cry. No, I'll definitely do, myself and Laura talked about it. We'll definitely start off with like easing our way into trying out some new stuff, maybe in March or something, or maybe in February. But then definitely we should do, I'm up for doing something. You said like maybe later in the year or something when we're back into the swing of things. It's just the strategy of it wasn't clear for me for a while. Like, you know, I have told you this, like events didn't necessarily make really great money for us.
Yeah.
You know, unless I can connect them to something else that can bring in the revenue, they're often like a lot of effort for very little money. But definitely look out for a very small, intimate, first time in a year and a half, AJ and Smart event in Berlin soon. But yeah, we'll definitely have to talk about what we can do together and Tony Robbins it.
Yeah.
No, it was cool. It was really amazing. The whole conference was great. Really great concepts I learned from it. We are like on crazy execution mode now that we've gotten back from it. I went probably from like a 6 out of 10 being pumped about the business to definitely like a 100 billion out of 10.
Wow.
Yeah, which also never happened to me after a conference.
That is a conference.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Okay, we got to figure out how to get a little bit of that magic. Now, I feel like I should go.
Yeah.
He isn't always there, right? That's
well, I bought tickets to see Tony Robbins now after seeing that. Oh. I straight away went. And by the way, yeah, like this entire conference is about like seeing how people sell as well. Like one of the underlying themes that you're told to watch out for at the start is watch how these speakers upsell their next thing to you. Like you're supposed to observe it. And Tony Robbins barely did it. He was like, look, you know, I have these things. You can come if you want. Like literally flashed something up on screen for 18.2 seconds. But I was like, yes, I do want to spend 3 days seeing. I want to see the full show. If this is what 4 hours looks like at a place where he's not used to doing it.
Yeah.
Even from a pure like audio technical point of view, I want to see the real thing. So yeah, I bought a ticket to see, to unleash the power within.
Unleash the power within.
So American.
Wow. He has a ton of different things he does.
Yeah. I want to also go to the business mastery one, but it costs like $10,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh.
And when you buy a ticket, the cool thing is you can choose which one you want to see over the next 2 years. By the way, the reason I actually bought my ticket was because I was like, huh, he's 60 now. He's a multi-billionaire. And as he makes clear in this show and on other things I've heard him in, like he absolutely does not need to do these shows at all.
Yeah, at all. He just loves it.
Like he just enjoys it. And you can tell. But I'm like, fuck, like if he just dies or just decides, maybe it's not like for me, then I'll get to miss out on what would genuinely be sort of a once in a lifetime experience. And yeah, so I was like, you know what? I'm actually going to, I've always wanted to go to it, but I kind of never bothered. And now I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to go to see some Tony Blobbins.
His head is so big. He looks like...
Yeah, it was bigger than a normal person.
Looks like Thanos or something. Wow.
Yeah, I think he had like some sort of brain tumor thing that made him grow or something.
Oh, really?
I think so. That's something someone told
me. Yeah.
No, I don't think you'd have to.
I meant it in like kind of a cool way. Like
he's huge. I mean, that's also why he looks a bit like a god.
Yeah.
Like he's seven feet tall or something. He's huge. Standing next to people where he's doing the interventions, it's like, what the hell?
Yeah, wow.
He's maybe like your height, but like seven times more wide.
Yeah, that's what I gotta do.
Yeah. Anyway, also just one thing I'll say about Tony Robbins is I always thought he was one of these scammy, cheesy people that I would hate.
Yeah.
Then I heard him on Tim Ferriss's podcast and I was like, oh, wait, this guy actually knows stuff. That's weird. And I started listening to his podcast and I was like, oh, he does know stuff, but it's mixed in with this kind of emotional, cheesy stuff that I don't like. And now I'm like, maybe at the point in my life where I'm like, I kind of like the emotional,
cheesy stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So I kind of went full circle. I was too cynical when I was younger to appreciate that. 25-year-old Jonathan wouldn't have, I almost feel like I would have walked out like when people started dancing because I was too cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was ready for it this time.
Wow. Whoa.
Don't try to be cool, everyone.
The guy, Mark Benioff from Salesforce.com says, without access to Tony and his teaching, Salesforce.com wouldn't exist.
Yeah.
That's pretty hardcore. That's a pretty good recommendation.
I think he's, definitely this guy, he is a very smart businessman. He's not like he's not just like a motivational speaker. He's also runs multiple billion-dollar companies.
If you want to get the feeling of what Jonathan was describing, if you're listening to this, if you go to the website and you go to Unleash the Power Within, I guess I went to San Jose. There's like this big video of him, like full page video of him, like with the crowd just like going nuts. I feel like I am there with you at the thing in Nashville. Cool.
It was really good. So I would say like uncynically straight up seeing Tony Robbins was, so also by the way, like a lot of the interventions he did were not interesting to me, as in like, you know, it made me realize Q&As are so boring sometimes. You know, like when somebody asks you a question at one of our workshops and 80% of the other people don't care about that question, but they still have to listen to you answer it. Like when I'm at my events too, the way he did it was interesting because someone will ask him a question and then you're like rolling your eyes like, oh, okay, now I have to listen to him answer this. You know, he's so used to doing this over 30 years that he goes to the core of the problem immediately without having to ask any questions. So someone will be like, oh, this problem with my business. And then he's like, okay, but is the real problem? Boom. And then he goes to like a human nature thing that you probably will have a problem with.
Yeah.
And at the end, he'll like plop the tactical thing on top as well. So you just get that answer. the point is also everyone enjoys it. And because even if you don't enjoy it, it's going to be a party in a minute anyway. You know what I mean? Full on party. It's going to break out into a full on party.
I think there's something to that. I mean, one thing I learned from doing the events with you guys is it's okay to have a lot of fun at a work thing. That actually is non-obvious.
Yeah.
It's non-obvious and it's not true in most places and most conferences. It's just like, it's okay to actually just have like a lot of fun.
Yes.
And to be silly and enjoy it and to treat it like you're having guests to your home and like to try to make it a special thing.
Yeah.
And this just feels like what you're describing is just like dialing that up even more. I mean, the hard part obviously is figuring out where do you or I have the expertise and like the power, like the charisma and the stage presence to do, like to what extent can you do that? But like, but we're pretty, I actually think that we're pretty good on some of those things. And it's an interesting idea to just say, we're going to take the experience up. Like you're just going to like remove whatever barrier you thought there was to how amazing the experience itself could be. Like the human experience of being there. Like,
and the other thing is like, oh, sorry. I'm just getting very excited.
No, I didn't really know where I was going. So it was a good time to interrupt me.
That's what I noticed. Like, I was like, and the other thing is.
I just have like residual pumped from your description of it and watching the video clip.
Other conferences also don't think about is music, and they might have some music on in between the speakers or something. But this conference, and especially Tony Robbins' thing, there was like a soundtrack to the talk.
Oh, man.
So occasionally he'd go into a topic, and for some reason in the background, they've decided, oh, this is kind of a deep bit. And so they'll put on a soundtrack in the background. And it like,
it's really like electronic keeps music.
Like it can be anything. It can be orchestra. It can be a pop song. It can be almost anything, but it just, there was a soundtrack to the experience. And so it made you feel it more. Or even if it was like sometimes, you know, about cold business information, the fact that it would cut to a really big music piece for a while, there was like these transitions in between sentences and in between moments. It was just super exciting. The music as well in general at the conference was great. Like the crazy buildups for speakers. And in a normal conference, it's like, I guess in normal conference, it's kind of like you go there, there is an MC, but the MC, by the way, this is like the person who's like talking. That's usually the person who's like running the conference often, isn't it? And they're often not necessarily
often,
that.
Often, that's often true. Yeah.
And they're not necessarily charismatic. They're like, hello, this next speaker is really great, blah, blah, blah. Whereas they've hired this person who's a really funny, sassy, loud, like entertainer. And this person is just doing an unbelievable job in between speakers, getting everyone up, getting everyone pumped. And, you know, like even before the first speaker, you know, we had this guy getting us pumped up for 30 minutes. So when the first speaker came on, there was like crazy screaming and elation. And this isn't like a celebrity. This is a guy who makes marketing funnels. Like it is the most dry fucking topic.
Yeah.
But it was, I've never experienced anything like it. It was completely inspiring. It definitely made the whole team want to do a conference, but also at the same time, realize that we'll never do one unless we can make it a sort of a very exciting experience. So it's something that was like, okay, that's something we definitely want to be a part of one day. But it also made it clear that we're not ready for it. You know, we're not ready to create an experience like that yet.
We should try to get the creator, somebody who, you know, one of the creators of that conference on the show.
Get
them to tell us about how they did it. Wouldn't that be cool?
Russell Brunson. I can try. I'll see if I can actually get him on.
Yeah.
I think he's the busiest man alive, but
but sometimes people might like to, like, I don't know how often, maybe people all the time want to interview him about stuff like that, but sometimes people, I think, dig talking about like the inner workings of the thing that they do, the main thing that they do, you know, or like a thing that they're really into that they do that's not about necessarily the obvious thing.
That's a good point. I'm actually going to contact him and see if I can get him on the show. That would be really cool. Because the advantage we have as well is that we're kind of a very different type of show that would open them up to a different audience.
Yeah, right.
I also thought of five people
in their shower. Apparently.
It's also the first conference where I was like, I would almost like to speak at this conference. Almost. I still didn't get all the way to I want to. Because I just don't like it.
Sounds like I would love to speak at it. That sounds fun.
Yeah.
Everybody's all pumped up.
You'd have to get ready to party, man.
And then you know Tony Robbins is like going to do it later. So you're like, even if I blow it, Tony's going to, they're not even going to remember who I was.
Yeah, exactly. Tony Blobbins.
Tony Blobbins is going to blob it. So that's cool. Man, that's so cool. That
was it. I mean, Chicago was really cool as well. Lovely. Nashville is amazing, and it's such a cool place. So fun. All very positive.
Wow. That was a very effusive reaction for Nashville, which I thought was quite nice, but that's...
I loved it.
Did you love... Well, it's probably hard to separate your love for the city from the experience you had there.
No, it was one of the most fun cities I've ever gone out in my entire life from a pure going out and listening to live music point of view.
What kind of music did you listen to?
Pretty much everything. I mean, it was like every bar had live music. So every bar had like either... And it was like, yeah, it was like sometimes country music or, you know, covers or whatever. But it reminded me of Ireland in the fact that there was live music everywhere. But the people, you know, were up dancing and partying immediately, which is sometimes like it is in Ireland. And that's just super fun. You just go out, have a drink or two, have some food, and everyone's dancing and like listening to music around you. And it's, I just haven't seen, I mean, it's called City and it's very true. Literally everywhere you go is like.
Jason, you should beep out.
Yeah, beep it out every time. So like not all the way back to just where I say city. That's a good one. I know I've talked a lot.
That was interesting. I mean, that's what people come... The podcast title is going to be something about like Tony Robbins, and they're going to think we had him on the show, but...
Yeah, Tony Robbins is on this show. This asterisk episode, guest speaker, not. Tony Robbins.
I was thinking when you were talking about the music playing behind Tony Robbins, how funny it would be if it was always the same song and it was like a Celine Dion song or something.
Night in my dreams.
And I don't know like why I thought maybe that was a funny joke. And so while you were talking, I pulled up a web browser and I searched for Celine Dion because I couldn't think of the name of any of her songs or how they go. And then you know how Google suggests questions that like a lot of people are asking?
Yeah.
The thing people search for the most.
Do you want me to guess?
Guess. What do you think is the most about Celine Dion?
Well, I know it's a how now.
It's how.
How short is Celine Dion?
It's how do I contact Celine Dion? Do you imagine that like of all the people searching for Celine Dion, most of them are searching for how do I contact her? And they think that that's like a possibility.
That's amazing.
Like, would you ever think when you're thinking of like a musician or like whatever, like a famous person, you're like, oh, I wonder how I can contact them?
Yeah, I'll just
Although,
Google it.
Here we are talking about this Russell dude and we were like, how do I contact him? So maybe...
Russell Brunson, man. If you're listening to this, which you definitely are not, well done on that conference.
I will give you a quick Gandalf update and maybe we should...
update.
Yeah. So otherwise I'm going to forget. I just read this last night, reading out loud to my son, Flynn.
Definitely loud.
I'm loud now. Oh, sorry.
No. Reading out loud to your son. I always imagine really loudly, like...
Yeah.
The other day, Gandalf walked out to the boat. And he's like, please, daddy.
I like how it's like the other day in the book.
What are you laughing at?
Like if in the book literally it said the other day Gandalf.
The other day Gandalf walked down the street and
just like turned the page on a new chapter and it's like, oh, the other day. Oh man.
The other day I think Gandalf walked down. You know, so blasé about it, doesn't have a clue.
It's just so laid back.
Yeah.
I don't know. Gandalf. Anyway, what happened was the guys who ride on horses, they're from Rohan. The riders of Rohan. You don't see a lot of them fighting on horseback, which is a little disappointing in the Lord of the Rings, but they sort of like, Gandalf goes in, there's a guy who's been talking to the king, this guy whose name is Wormtongue. Okay, the king of the horse rider guys is Theoden. His advisor's name is Wormtongue, and that's what everybody calls him. And you would think that if the advisor's name is Wormtongue, that you'd be a little suspicious of him.
Yeah, definitely.
But there's only like one guy in the whole kingdom who's suspicious of him. And anyway, Gandalf comes in, and the guy has like talked. He's like basically got done a spell on the king or something. He's got the king under his control. And Gandalf comes in, and he just like straight up like, doesn't kill the guy, but like electric shocks him.
Wow.
So he like tases him. which is the most aggressive thing that we've ever seen Gandalf do.
Super aggressive for Gandalf.
Super aggressive for Gandalf, who's done
he's like, oops, sorry
so far
about that.
Zero magic except for light up his stick. And all of a sudden he's like, and like the, with like really like almost no warning, like just walks in, bzz, guys out. And then the king is like, oh, now I'm fine and I'm on your side, whatever. So they ride. Gandalf gets small pumped. They like ride their horses across the country.
Wait a second. What did Gandalf say? Did he give any reason for killing that guy's advisor?
Not a lot. Like he said the guy was, he's like, oh, he's been telling you lies, basically. So the king gets pumped about that. They all get on their horses. They sort of shoo the guy away, the bad advisor. They ride their horses across. They're going to go fight Saruman. Also, why in the Lord of the Rings are the two bad guys named Sauron and Saruman?
So annoying.
Can you not?
So annoying. Stupid.
My 8-year-old son is like, I mean, he's like getting it figured out, but it's so confusing for him. It's like, why can't they just be like,
yeah.
Anyway, you get the idea.
Why can't it be like Saruman and Brian?
Yeah, right. Yeah, that'd be great if the guy in the
Ed.
Sauron was Brian. So they go all the way across. What was that? So one day Steve was in his tower casting spells.
And you're like, wait, is that the guy with the big eye or is that the guy with the white hair? Oh, I'm Steve.
He's Australian.
Steve, imagine if Sauron was just a guy called Steve. Well, it's still the eye, but with an Australian accent.
All right, now, what you doing in the Oaks over? What you doing in the Shire? I'm watching you with just my eye.
With my big fucking eye. I'm having a look at you, mate. I can't blink. Where's my eyelids?
My eyes on fire.
I'm trying to blink without eyelids.
Oh boy.
I'm Steve.
Oh, as a sidebar to the Gandalf update, I just watched Mad Max Fury Road
again
with my older son Luke and with my friend Nate, who'd never seen it. Neither one of them had seen it. So fun to watch that movie with people who've never seen it before.
So good.
You spend like half the time watching the movie and half the time just watching them react to the crazy things that happen, and I was reignited in my passion for that movie because the things that happen are so amazing and crazy.
It's ridiculous.
Ah, God, it's so good. Anyway, back to Gandalf. They ride across the country.
Yeah.
Then there's a bunch of orcs and they ride back somewhere else and hide in a cave. And the orcs come to get them. And the orcs are just like, there's so many of them. And Saruman gave the orcs like magic fire, which you would never see Gandalf do. Saruman apparently more things he can do. Anyway, so finally, basically, it looks like it's all going to go pretty bad for the riders. And then Gandalf, who had ridden away at one point, comes back and there's like a forest has appeared. And when they chase the guys like rally and they chase the orcs into the forest and the orcs like disappear, like they get killed in the forest. And then they're like, whoa, Gandalf, you just did some pretty awesome magic. Way to make that forest appear. And then Gandalf's like, actually, I didn't do that. Because it's just the Ents. It was the Ents. They just walked over there. He knows them.
Oh.
And I guess he asked them to come walk there.
Did he say, actually, I didn't do that?
Well, not in so many words, but basically, yeah. He's like,
bro,
that wasn't magic. So he's like, again, nothing. Anyway, that's the update on Gandalf.
Good.
That's
sorry, man.
Oh,
I
Jason
didn't ask
Freed
you
story.
About Boston. Oh, Jason Fried story. Will I end it on the... You know what? How about we drag the Jason Fried story over multiple episodes. So I'll start it.
Okay.
But
okay.
This is a crazy... You heard it, right? It's crazy, isn't it?
Well, I don't know how long it is, but I heard...
You know the bullet... You know the end.
No.
Wait, what?
I don't know the
but
end.
But you know... I'm going to tell the audience here a little bit because we need something that travels over multiple episodes to keep people excited.
Okay.
I was in Chicago last week running a workshop for a client. There was just one person I wanted to meet in Chicago. That person is Jason Fried,
Michael Jordan.
The CEO. Michael Jordan, yeah. Michael Jordan. And then the second person is Jason Fried, the CEO of Basecamp, who was on this podcast before. So anyway, I was in Chicago. I was with my colleagues. And I open up Google Maps. And I'm like, huh. Basecamp's office seems to be in the same building as the client.
Whoa.
So I was like, huh. Pretty big coincidence. Like, in all of Chicago, where our client's office happens to be is exactly where the one person in Chicago I want to meet is.
That's crazy.
And so
it's a pretty big city.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I was like, you know what? I wasn't going to try to meet Jason Fried because I don't want to annoy him. But you know what? I'm going to have a look at my email. No, and I'm going to write him an email. So I send him an email. I'm like, hey, Jason, Jonathan, I met you before on the podcast, blah, blah, blah. I was on your podcast. I don't want to disturb you, but I just want to let you know I'm actually working from where it seems to be your office. I was wondering, is there any chance I could have a visit of your office? I've always wanted to see the Basecamp office, blah, blah, blah. So minding my own business, right? I send this message to Jason. And maybe 2 minutes later, maybe one, I'm back to updating my slide deck for the client. And then Ryan, one of my colleagues, taps me on the shoulder and he's like, is that Jason Fried? And I look over and the only other person in the cafe is Jason Fried. The CEO of Basecamp. And so I stand up and the rest will be told next week.
Oh, that's a good one. Oh, that's a good cliffhanger. Yeah, that's all I know. Yeah, that's all that I know about the story. Yeah. So that's a good one.
Ooh, there's more. Killer. There's more to it. There's more to it. Yeah.
Killer, man. That's crazy. A good one. God. Yeah. Yeah, you were in Chicago. I was in Boston.
How was it?
Yeah, nobody's going to even be listening at this point.
Ah, fuck it. No one listens anyway.
Who cares about
you? Who knows if these podcast numbers are real?
We don't even know if there's a real podcast. I don't know if we're just even uploading
them. There's no podcast. Stuart is a lie.
Boston was cool. Did the same thing that I did at Harvard and MIT. I think this is going to be a new thing I try to sell people on, which is me come in.
Oh, that's the end of it.
Me come in, new company. And
me come in, new company.
Or you school.
Slide
and
deck.
Basically, you just get it was 10 teams who are all grad students at MIT, a few at Harvard. Cause I guess if you go to Harvard or MIT, you can go to the other school and take classes for free. It's kind of cool. They're connected somehow.
Buddies.
As if one of them wasn't a big enough deal already.
Yeah.
So they're doing startups. And so I just led them all through a design sprint all in parallel at once. Yeah. And it's the same thing I did at the Harvard Business School a couple of weeks before. And it's really fun for me. And it's cool because when you have the peer pressure of the other teams in the same room and just that dynamic of I'm the MC of it. I'm not just with your team facilitating one-on-one. People move a lot faster. They make decisions faster because they know they can't talk on and on, right? It's so much easier to keep things tight. And the whole premise, your whole thing with the design sprint of if you threw a dart in a dark room, it doesn't matter where it goes. If it will turn on the light and you'll know where to throw it next. It doesn't really matter that they get things right. What's important is that going through all those steps, building that velocity and that shared information. So it's really cool. And I think that dynamic, I want to try to find more ways to set up that dynamic where teams are working in parallel.
Yeah.
To kind of pump, to having a good time, So
maybe we should do some of that dynamic with some of my clients.
Maybe we should Tony Robbins it.
Honey Blobbins.
Yeah. The only thing that I'll remember afterwards, you told me all this stuff, I was asking questions, but the only thing I'll remember later is 4 hours, no bathroom break.
Yeah,
I'm just going to make it my new workshop's super boring.
Yeah.
The
room smelled pretty bad at the end. Oh, one girl broke her leg. One girl, four rows ahead of me, broke her leg dancing.
No.
And she had to be taken out in a stretcher and they had to put her leg together and stuff. It was crazy.
Broke her leg?
Yeah. Well, broke or bad enough that she was screaming, laying on the ground and an ambulance had to come.
In the Tony Robbins?
Yep. It was pretty distracting. Luckily, it only went on for 15 minutes, but it was pretty distracting. I didn't know what had happened
That happened in the, just the flat out middle or what?
That happened right in the middle of his talk, yeah.
How did he recover from that?
Talking about a massive room with maybe 3,000 to 5,000 people. It was just distracting for the people who were close to her.
But she was screaming.
No, she screamed a bit at the start and then she laid there crying.
Wow.
Quietly crying.
Oh, wow.
But they took care of her and took her out.
Yeah.
She just looked very disappointed to be leaving the Tony Robbins thing by the end of it.
Yeah. She didn't even care about the leg.
I didn't even know what had happened. I just saw everyone crowding around this one person. And I was like, guys, I'm trying to listen to Pony Hobbins.
Pony Hobbins would be a good name for a character in the Lord of the Rings.
Brony Cloggins. I will say one of my employees, we stayed in an Airbnb in Nashville. This is right at the end of the podcast, so no one will hear it. And I'm not naming any names, but one of my... lovely employee.
Nashville, city.
Nashville. Yeah, city. Beat that one up. But one of my employees may or may not have blocked one of the Airbnb toilets on day one. And we may or may not have had to call the plumber to come and fix it. And they may or may not have been given the nickname. I won't say their first name, but their second name is now Cluggins. So, there you go. There you go.
Oh, man. Oh, boy. I'm pretty so tempted clogged. To like say it was so-and-so, wasn't yeah, it, on yeah. your team? But I just feel like that's mean.
No, it's a secret. That's also mean. Something I'll slowly reveal over the next few weeks. Which AJ and Smart employee clogged the toilet in Nashville? This was not a small clogging. This was nobody can use it now. We need to call a plumber.
That's how it got the name Nashville City.
Oh, my God. Jason, please beep out every time he says Oh, fuck.
Oh, boy. Oh, all right. God. Should we call it there?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, okay. Yeah. But slowly over the night, I just want to say, I'll leave with this. I feel super, apart from the toilet bit, I feel super good, super inspired for the first time in a long time.
I am feeling good as well. And maybe in the next episode, we'll talk about how I am learning to deal with all my crap, all the stuff I've been trying to get on top of, getting my life together stuff with help from my friend Kristen, who has been all the stuff we're trying to figure out. Like Jake needs a system. Jake needs to hire somebody. Anyway, getting that figured out. And it's
great.
It's very
finally,
so,
man.
Yeah. We'll talk more about that in the future.
Finally.
Although maybe by next week, I'll just be in tears again.
Yeah. What have I done?
Yeah. What have I done? Yeah.
But then you can go to Honey Gloggins.
Honey Gloggins.
I'll sort it out for you.
That's right. Now I know what to do when trouble strikes. Okay.
There you go, man. Thanks a lot. Hey, look. One thing we do well is sing the podcast in and out. That's something we've been doing well before going to Tony Hobbins, but now I would have done it. Now we need to do it mid-episode as well.
It's something to build on.
Yeah. Let's sing it out like really passionately.
Okay.
Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4. That's why they call it City. All right, Jake. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.